Ah, got it.
Declaring success and opening the meeting, I'd like to call this meeting to order February 2nd, 2023 at 7 p.m. for the budget workshop number 4. Thank you, Board Clerk, for all you're doing for us. We appreciate it. At this time, we'll go on to the budgets. And the first budget on our agenda tonight is recreation. Is there an opening statement or something wonderful you'd like to share, Stephanie? Stephanie Crane, our recreation director in the town of Bolton.
Yeah, nothing big. I'm just excited to propose this budget to you guys, and I'm looking forward to hopefully not having a crazy, crazy budget season, but we'll see what happens this year.
I would just like to say, if Pam, Ms. First Lepin, I just want to say,
Bob,
I just want to say, I think Stephanie did an excellent job putting this together. I compliment you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Jim, do you want to address any of these items?
No, we'll let Stephanie do her presentation for you.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Stephanie, please continue.
All right. So I'm sure you guys have seen in the budget packet that there's quite a few pages in here. So I just kind of want to go over what is in the pages. Page number one is obviously just the breakdown for the budget workshop. We'll come back to that later. But the first page, I did a couple salary surveys. So I don't know if this is page number one for you guys, but it looks like this. This December, I did conduct a salary survey with a bunch of the recreation directors in the state that have similar population sizes to Bolton. So in here, I did survey almost 20 towns. Got all of their salaries and then did an average, and the average came out to about 60,000. So I did put as a proposal in my budget to get paid $60,000 come the budget in July. But there are a couple options to that. I know that's quite a big jump compared to what I am making right now. So that is something that I'm interested in maybe discussing, whether that's something we can plan for come July 2024 and then do two jumps. So give like half of it in this July and then half of it the next July. If you do go to the next page, which is on the, I don't know if it's printed out, but it would be on the back of that. There was also a survey done in 2019, 2020, that Coventry actually conducted that I received. And it is just a survey of what the towns in the adjacent areas are making. So it has Andover, Bolton, Columbia, Coventry, Mansfield, Tolland, and Vernon. And then it just has their median salary per position, which some of these towns are quite a lot bigger than specifically Vernon are quite a lot bigger than Bolton. So the average there was $78,062.50. So that was just another salary that I included in there. Then I don't know if it's possible for me to share my screen.
Yeah, I think you can. Finish off.
Mike, would you just hold off, please, until Stephanie's done?
Yep, no problem.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. So I'm going to share my screen. Can you guys see my screen?
Nope.
Not yet.
How about now?
Nope.
No.
Let's see. Let me go back.
It's okay. Take your time.
There we go. Now can we see it?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay. So this is my budget online. If we go to payroll there, that was right here. If you can see where my little cursor is moving, this right here is what my current salary would be if I got the typical 2.25% raise. So that's just a little breakdown right there. So what I was thinking for an option, is instead of, like I said, instead of doing it, you know, all at once, there's an option to kind of break it up into 2 years, if possible. That way it's not such a big burden on our budget this year, especially with budget season being kind of crazy. And with this year, with everything else, it's going to be a tough season. So that's that. There is also here, if you go to Herrick Park Summer Camp, or just kidding, you go to payroll other, you will see some of these positions that I have put in here for camp counselors, camp director, and lifeguards. They're higher than what minimum wage is supposed to be this year. Minimum wage is going to be rising to $15, but you can see here I put for lifeguards, $16. And then for my camp director, if you go up here, I put camp director at $17 an hour. If you go back to the packet and you turn a couple pages, which I didn't realize when I sent this to Kathy, you cannot really see the numbers in here. So if I go into my files, sorry, I didn't pull it up. There was a survey conducted by CRPA, which highlights how much other camp directors and camp counselors are making throughout the state. So in order to retain staff, last summer we were at a bare bones staff. And unfortunately, especially towards the end of the summer, with counselors going back to school, lifeguards going back to school, we were short staffed. So I'm hoping if we are offering a dollar extra for lifeguards and a couple dollars extra for a camp director, that we can hopefully find enough staff to stay fully staffed the entire summer. So that's that. So the next part is actually in our packet here is, hold on, I gotta move you guys. So the next part is Indian Notch. So basically the two things that I want to talk about tonight are the salary surveys and then Indian Notch fees. So last year, is everyone at this in their packet? I know there aren't really page numbers, so I don't want anyone to get confused, but they look like this once you get to that page.
I don't know if we have that.
Should be in there. Otherwise, I'll just go based off of this right here.
That's this one?
Well, Adam found it.
It's sort of a little
far. It might be on the back if it's printed double-sided.
I found it. It's further. It's deeper into the package.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, so Indian Notch. So we did raise the gate fees last year, but they were only raised slightly. And with minimum wage being risen and the fact that we are looking to buy some more supplies for the lake, there's quite a few things in the shed at the lake that need replacing, like a paddle board. We really should get some life vests, stuff like that, first aid supplies. So I'm looking to find a little bit more at the lake this year. So I have proposed two different options for our lake fees and our day passes and our daily rates to be risen. So this section right here, also side note, we are Coventry and Bolton. I'm working with the Coventry director to hopefully staff our lakes together. We're gonna go in, we're gonna do interviews and get staff together. So like if someone is working 15 hours at Coventry, we're going to try to make sure that they can also work at Bolton. So again, that's also why I'm looking to raise the rates for our lifeguards to a dollar more, because Coventry is also. So instead of us competing against each other to get staff, we're hoping to work together. So that's what this part is right here, showing our lifeguards and how much that would cost. And then at the top here, it has uniforms and supplies. So it's not a huge expense, but it is more than we normally put for our lake. So the lake pass and day pass rates. So if you're on the bottom of the packet, it's the current rates right here. It's also probably on the screen. But last year, we did not offer season passes, but the prices that were approved were for residents. It was a season pass is 40, non-resident was 80, senior citizen was 15, and non-resident was 80. And then the daily per car rates that we did last year. For residents, it was $5 on the weekday. For non-residents, it was $7. And then for holidays, it was $7 for residents and $24 non-residents. So I have two options for this. Option A, which is what I would recommend, looking at the way our budget is broken out, we would be raising the mostly the, so we really only probably make a handful of season passes. I think the average is like 40 season passes a year. So the daily rates are really what bring in money for us. So we've raised the season passes just a little, specifically for residents. So $45 for a resident, $25 for a senior citizen resident. And then the non-residents are the same. And then for the daily rates, we're keeping residents at $5 and non-residents at $7. But then the daily rate per car per holiday is $8 for residents and then $25 for non-residents on the weekends. And then pavilion rentals as well, we're looking to do $200 instead of what was $175. And then option B, raising it a little bit more to $50 for residents and then $25 for senior citizens, and then raising non-residents to $100 each.
Stephanie, I have a question.
Yes.
In option A, why did we raise the resident fees and not the non-resident fees?
Because they were quite a bit larger. That's kind of why I decided that. It seems kind of unfair to raise it that much, but again, like, we were only raising residents just by $5, so it's not as big of a jump. So that was the thought with that. So then this kind of breaks down with option A, how much we would be hopefully having come in with everything. So hold on, I'm kind of lost. Okay, right there. So pavilion rentals, average of two at 200, everything like that. You guys probably can see that in the packet, so I don't feel like I need to go totally in depth. But the revenue was going to be $53,000 roughly. And then with the expenses taken out, with lifeguard pay taken out as well, we'd have a profit of about $15,000. If you look at option B, with everything, with the passes and everything, revenue $37,000, total expenditures $34,000. So we would just be kind of breaking even with the lifeguard pay.
Stephanie, I know toward the end of the season, we incur some overtime expenses just to keep the lake open. I don't see overtime expenses accounted for in your budget. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's accurate. I'm not quite sure how we do overtime. So I don't know if that's something that Jill can explain at some point to me. I'm not sure where the overtime money gets taken out of it. Does it just get taken out of the round fund?
Yes. Okay. Is it just a piece of information that Jill and I went over earlier today. I know, I often will task Stephanie with proving to me that she's not losing money on programs, because I seem to sign a lot of purchase orders for her. And I can tell you that we have the final numbers for last year, and Stephanie's programs were in the black by $245.
Does that include her salary, Jim?
Yes, it did include her salary, but it does not include her benefits.
Okay.
Her benefits still come out of, you know, the general fund. And, you know, I think some of that is due to the fact that we were able to have a really good year at the lake. We benefited from Coventry having blue-green algae last year and taking some of their staff for the end of the season when we were short-staffed, because we were frankly looking at closing early because we had staff. And, you know, we had a very good season with no closures as a result of lack of staffing or blue-green algae. And it was a fairly dry, hot summer, so people came to the lake. It's not always the case, but I'm happy to say that Stephanie did slightly better than break-even last year.
I did go back and look at the year before last to see what the revenue was, because we didn't have a very good year. And it was $8,432 for the revenue for not last summer, but the summer before. And this past summer was $32,000. Mm-hmm. So that right there can make or break. You could have, and I'm not putting you down or anything, but you could have been in the red for $24,000 if we had had a year like we had the year before.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's very tricky, but we did have a good year last year.
Thank you. If we could go back, thank you very much. I apologize. If we go back, we'll go back to the initial pages. Mike had his hand up and he had questions, sir.
Can I ask the first one towards the end of it, our discussion? Absolutely.
We'll come back to you, sir.
Okay. My question is, it shows a higher revenue with option A rather than option B, but option B's fees are higher. Am I reading this wrong? It shows option A revenue of 53,000 and option B revenue of 37,000 and change, but option B charges more. So why would we make less?
I'm wondering if I labeled them wrong.
That was my question.
Let me go back here. Let's look at my budget, because I actually have it in the budget here.
Oh, and the second one would be kind of directed towards Jill. If we had a year like year before last, the salaries would go down too, because the lake wasn't open because of blue-green algae and weather and everything. So it's, you can't do apples and apples right there because of that. So yeah, they might have lost money, but it probably not 20,000, because they wouldn't.
And I just said it could have.
Yeah, but they probably wouldn't have.
A lot of things could happen.
If we don't make as much, it usually means because it's not open or something's wrong, and we wouldn't pay staff then. So it wouldn't be a direct correlation.
I think they have hang on a second. Yep. Adam has recognized that A and B have been flip-flopped.
That's what it looked like, but I was just checking.
If that's the case, I'm kind of like looking between both things. Is it possible, if I'm not able to figure out if that's exactly what I did tonight, that I can send you guys an amended copy of this?
Yes, you can send us a revised. They're not going to be making decisions about this tonight anyway. Steph, it's really just your presentation.
Okay, perfect. My apologies. I definitely don't know what happened there, so I will fix that and get back to you guys on that.
Okay. Going back to the beginning is where I had the first question, Jim, if I might.
Go ahead, Mike.
Okay. When you figured the salaries, looking at all these towns, you've got a town like Weston at 115,000, and what's the lowest town, like Preston Middlefield at 38. Did you do your typical figuring when you do statistics of throwing out the high and the low and averaging the rest of them?
I did not do that when I did the survey. Okay. I would be interested, if I were to do that, what would happen.
Stephanie, one of the things they do in education on cost sharing grant, ECS grant, and when they're looking at the towns, they have ERGs, they have economic levels of the towns, and they look at median income level. Mm-hmm. In that case, with those eyes on it, towns like Weston, Canton, Essex, Bethany, Easton would not be in this. And those are, as you can see, are significantly higher, but they are wealthier towns. And they have, though the population, well, and some of them are more than double what we have, they also have a much, much, much higher median income. And so they also, many of them, some of those towns do have a significant number of commercial districts to be able to help pay the taxes versus just residential or highly residential as we have. So I would ask you to re-look at the salary survey and take out those towns that have significantly higher median income level, please. Mm-hmm. And look at it again. So it's more apples to apples.
Gotcha, I will do that.
You should be able to get that from the town hall or the...
I'm just gonna go through what we can charge residents and what we charge non-residents. For example, as a typical season pass, this is in the category of typical season pass and typical daily car and the holiday, you can only charge double of what your charger, I believe, based on, because we have federal funds.
I think that's accurate.
For this part. So in like the daily, in what is the new A, we have $5 for residents, 15 for non, that 15 would have to be 10. And in the other category where we have $7 and 25, that 25 could only be 14.
How do we get away with what we do now? Where the daily weekend or the weekend charges 7 for residents and 20 for non-residents and 15 for seniors and 80 for non-resident seniors.
Those are current?
Yeah, those are the current ones.
The seniors would be a specialty. But technically.
Yeah, I thought it could only be double myself, but we've got it at daily rate for our weekend rate and holiday is 7 for resident and 20 for non-resident. And the season pass is 40 and 80, but the senior citizens pass is 15 and 80.
There was a law last year that was looked at. I mean, I'm not sure. I can do some research on if that actually is a thing, that it can't be more than double. But I believe last year there was a discussion of that, but they didn't pass that bill. That was in my budget proposal last year, but they did not pass that bill. Unless there is a different one that you're referring to, I'm not aware of a rule or of a bill or anything in the state that would prevent us from having double for certain things.
They have been limited to season passes, but you're good on that one.
There was a major court case, Adam, do you remember? Was it Westport or Greenwich?
I think it was Greenwich Beach, but...
Gee-witch.
Yeah, it is.
Beach is one of the beaches down the Gold Coast, and there was, I don't know what the resolution to that was, but it was significantly caused them to come closer together for the resident and the non-resident.
I believe that's the bill I'm thinking of, and from what the last person I spoke to about it from the Connecticut Parks and Rec Association said that it had not passed, but I can get that information for you guys.
I just want to make sure that we're not
breaking the rules.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah. No, I have no problem with charging the fee because the residents pay taxes to support this as it is.
Right. I
mean, they should be paying for a lesser fee.
And I don't have a real problem with going to at least $100 for a non-resident season pass.
Yeah, me neither.
That's a deal at twice that.
Right.
The pavilion rentals, Stephanie, is there a reason in, or Bob or Mike or Jim or Adam, why we charge the same amount for resident and non-resident for a rental? Why we don't give a break to the taxpayers in town?
I think it's a deal at what it is, because especially if it's on a weekend, you know, we're paying overtime to have somebody lock and unlock the gate.
Yep.
So, you know, if we're going to do something with that, I would say that, you know, you'd want to go up on the non-resident fees for pavilion rentals.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Stephanie, in your experience, do we have many non-resident rentals of the pavilion?
I think most of them.
Usually it is non-residents. In fact, last year, the only person who did the rental was a church group, and they are definitely from out of town. We only did once. There was another person that was supposed to do the rental, and it fell through. So we average a couple a season. I had like 6 or 7 people reach out to me for it, but for whatever reason, some of them didn't end up going through fruition, but we normally will have around 2.
So that's not a big revenue source.
No.
Thank you.
No, but it shouldn't be a loser either.
But if you rent a pavilion to an out-of-town group, they're also paying the per car out-of-town charges. So they're paying more per car as good well.
Right. Right. So you're really making
money maker.
Yeah.
You're guessing.
Yeah.
Yeah, your guests
they are paying the park.
The 200. Yeah. Thank you. Further questions? Bob DiPietro? No? Mike Aramid, another question?
I had one, but let me just look back, see if I can come up with it. I've kind of forgotten it. My head's a little fuzzy. I was out twice last night after midnight, so I'm not right with it.
Thank you for your service, sir.
Let's see here. I'll figure it out later. It couldn't have been that important if I didn't make a note on it.
More?
I was looking at your the camp at Herrick Park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it makes sense what you're doing. And what's your anticipated profit?
For summer camp?
Yeah.
I believe we made about $30,000 last year, but here, actually, we can go back to my budget. This did not end up in your packet. If we go all the way to the end here, my summary, I'm gonna move you guys so I can scroll. So I have 2 options for this. I will see if I can, if Kathy can send this out, because this did not end up going in the packet that you guys have, but this is just my overall budget summary, and it has the 2 options for what we're doing, like just in general, what the expenditures and revenues for everything. So for here, for Herrick Park Summer Camp, it says my expenditure is $18,500 and then the revenue is $72,800. And so the profit just for that is $54,300, but that does not take into account payroll. So my other payroll in here has everything. It has my camp counselors, my lifeguards, my basketball coordinator, everything. It's all in that one section. So it's not giving you the actual number, but payroll for camp counselors, I believe, ended up being around $20,000 this past year.
So you did have a reasonable net gain on it.
Yeah. Camp, the lake, and basketball are the 3 profit-making programs that we have right now.
What type of camp? What?
Camp, the lake, and then basketball are our 3 programs that make us the most money, that bring in a lot of the income that we use for payroll.
And your projected profit factors in what you feel the increased hourly pay should be to hold the counselors in there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Which one is that? Budget A or budget B that takes in that into consideration?
The payroll?
Takes everything that you've requested. Does one of these show that projected against last year's hours and people and everything? Do you know what I'm getting at? Did you you take the increase in salaries and plug it into these numbers? Would we have still made a profit with your new salary recommendations?
Yes. So that's the last thing is the town has always, the last like 20 years has given the department some money. So we did not get any of that money the last 3 years due to COVID and then due to another staff member, my previous director, Kylene, leaving. But I am looking to hopefully start adding in more programs that make money in order for us to like break even. At the end here, you will see the request for town support with option B. It's $26,419. With option A, which is the one that I recommend, it's only $11,144. So again, I'm trying to add in some programs that make more money to match the difference, because unfortunately, everyone knows that things are more expensive, supplies are more expensive, and staffing is expensive and everything like that. So I'm hoping to add in some more programs this coming year that make more of a profit. So hopefully my budget can be 100% self-sustained.
That's actually the way it was designed. When we first set up the round fund, it was supposed to be additional funding for a few years to get it up and going, and then it was supposed to be self-sustaining. And I understand the last few years have been kind of crazy and it didn't work, but that's the idea, is that when we first did this, God, what, 25 years ago, Bob? More, yeah. Something like that. The idea was that, you know, the town would contribute for a few years until we got a rec director and got everything up and running. And then hopefully the goal was to have it self-sustaining. And you're not bad with $11,000 on a $184,000 budget. And
based on last year, we gave her no support.
Right.
And she did better than break even.
Right. So, you know, you're right on target. And if you were to pick up a couple more programs, you could easily wipe out that 11,000 town contribution, which would put you right where we had hoped it would be for all these years. So
yeah.
I think it's a good, it looks good to me.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Yeah. Jill, do we know how much savings is in the account now? How much she has in the savings?
I mean, for this year, sir?
How much is in the round fund, Joe?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
I don't know offhand. I can look if you have to give me a couple minutes, but I can look.
I would have thought that would be ready.
If I may comment, the biggest issue the last couple of years has been COVID. I've had a couple of conversations with Jill over the last couple of years about how, because of certain circumstances, like the lake being closed down for a summer, the algae bloom, COVID, meaning that we didn't have basketball one summer and other things. I know the last couple of years we were in the red. And so again, like I'm hoping to add some programs. I want to do swimming lessons at the lake. And there's a couple other things I'm playing around with for next year so that we are hopefully a self-sustaining recreation budget.
But I guess my question is, you're presenting a budget that shows you in the black at the end of next year. And last year you were in the black. So why do you feel that you need town support? Financial support?
So I guess my budget is like a wish list about like what I'm looking to hold programs. I have not added in a program like swimming lessons into this budget because it's something I've been looking into the last probably couple weeks. So I was not putting in those extra programs that I'm thinking of into this budget. So when you look at the budget right now, it is reading as if it's going to be in the black due to that. That's not to say that I won't add more programs in the rest of the year to make up for that. So whether the town gives me support or not, I am hoping to not be, you know, 26 or 11,000 in the black. Like, I'm going to be making that up somehow with programs. But that was the amount that I was requesting, because that when you look at it without this, I would be not quite breaking even with both of them.
Yeah, that was my question. So you wouldn't be making money without a town contribution to your budget?
Yes, exactly.
And that's with the new salaries figured in?
Yes, yep. Okay. With the increase for all of the staff that work for me during the summer and during the year, and then myself as well.
But wouldn't we raise the price of our programs to cover the cost of salary increases?
We can. The biggest salary increase is obviously myself that I'm requesting. The programs themselves do sustain the other staffing. So like Indian Notch and also camp and everything, the salary increases for those are factored in. But again, like the payroll line item for myself is, you know, between $50,000, $60,000, which is a big chunk. Okay. And
thank you. That helps me wrap my head around. Thank you.
Okay. Yes.
I don't have more.
Bob Moore? No, I don't have any more. Thank
you. There's 170,000 in there now.
I'm sorry, say one more time.
170,000.
Oh, good.
Good.
Thank you. Bud Petro?
Yeah. My question is regarding the staff sharing between the county and us. Who would be responsible for issuing the paychecks to the employee?
So I think, Bob, that they're not actually going to share employees in the sense that, you know, like we do with shared services. What they're going to do is have their payroll at the same dollar rate per hour, mm-hmm. so they can utilize staff in both places and work together to hire staff so that they can be scheduled in both places. But when they work for Coventry, they'll be paid by Coventry. When they work for Bolton, they'll be paid by Bolton.
Good. Yep. Good. Good. Thank you.
We did actually, a couple of the Coventry lifeguards came over and helped us out last summer. So after that happened, we kind of decided instead of being each other's competitor that we would hire together. And that way we're able to not compete with our staff. So people know that they can work for either one of us. And it wouldn't be like we're taking each other's staff away, basically.
Question.
In your opening comments, you talked about staffing with lifeguards and how you wanted to raise their salary to be able to keep them. But in that same comment set of comments, you talked about them going back to school, going back to college. Raising the salary rate does not change the opening date of school. That doesn't help you at the end of the summer.
A couple of the staff, yes, did go back early. The main issue last summer, especially with the state, the state last year was offering $19 an hour for kids to be lifeguards at some of the state beaches. So us at $14 does not compete very well with that. So that is what I meant by that comment, was that we're trying to make sure we're able to keep staff and not have them go work someplace else.
I said I put the two things together in the wrong order. Mm-hmm. What is the state going to be offering this year?
That is a good question. I have not actually heard. I'm assuming it's 19 or higher, though. Likely probably like $20 or a little bit more than that.
Thank you.
Mike?
Yeah, if we do swap people back and forth based on needs, who's picking up the tab for workers' comp and any insurance thing, you know, workers' comp insurance and stuff like that? Is it going to be, if somebody comes here one day, do they count for the whole season on our workers' comp? Or how's it work out, Jim? Do you know?
So, you know, we get audited every year for workers' comp. It's based on the hours they work for us. So every job has a classification and it's based on payroll.
Okay. All right. So
we'll only pay for the portion of time that they're in Bolton.
And they'll be covered by our workers' comp, not Coventry's. And
right. When they're in Bolton, they'll be covered by our workers' comp. When they're in Coventry, they'll be covered by Coventry's workers' comp.
Okay, good.
Further questions? For Stephanie?
Nope.
Adam?
I've got to say, I'm having a little trouble putting the revenue side of this budget together with the expense side.
Yeah.
Because it's separated out. So I'm trying to look at it now and figure out. I would like to see it, you know, the way a ledger would normally be, where you have the revenue on one side and the or the revenue on, you know, one page and the expenses on the other page, and you reconcile them, because I'm having trouble going back and forth between various sheets.
Are you looking at the summary at all? I don't know if that's what you mean, but if you go to the last, which is not in the packet, it's what's on the screen right now.
That's what I'm saying, because I don't have that.
But we're missing.
Sorry. I know that was the part that ended up not in the packet, unfortunately, because my budget is like 16 tabs long. So I can definitely get this section, just this summary, if Kathy or someone can send it out to you guys tomorrow. But this is exactly, I'm assuming, what you're talking about. And it has the two options that correlate with option B and option A of Indian Notch.
Remember, they were flip-flopped on page.
Yeah.
Is where those, okay.
So I will double check that tomorrow, and I'll make sure that the correct options are.
Did these option A and option B, did these include the $60,000 salary level for you, or is it at the $50,000?
They do include it, yes. At the top here, this payroll section right here, $64,590, which is included with, that includes Social Security.
And I think this is probably true of all our budgets. We don't have benefits on the individual.
That's correct.
Labor budgets. So
those are in the administration budget.
You got to add 15%.
It's not in that.
It also doesn't include Social Security for the.
If you took out Social Security and you took out the half the pay increase.
It doesn't include Social Security for the casual staff unless they're paid on a 1099.
No, they're not. They're employees.
So it does include workers' comp, Social Security, Medicare.
Yeah.
I don't think we have to pay paid sick leave for those employees. So you got to add, I don't know, it's at least 20%
right
on the downside on that budget. But again, that's true of all our budgets.
It is.
None of our budgets.
That's accurate.
I'm not sure why we do it that way.
It's all under benefits, yeah.
Dr. Petro had his hand up.
Yes. I just wanted to ask if, as Jill said, there's $170,000 in that round fund. Why would the town be having to be adding money to help? We have that money in the round fund. How does that work?
So the round fund, unless there's getting profit put in it, is going to continue to diminish, which again, like I was saying, I want to make sure that hopefully in the next couple of years, I'm able to get it so there doesn't need to be any support at all. But again, like there is a little bit of a deficit looking at it right now. So, hopefully we wouldn't need to keep delving into it. I don't know if that was where the money would come from. Jill, I don't know if you'd be able to answer that better. Like if the money that the town puts forward, if it ends up coming out of the round fund, or, you know, when it's in the budget, if that ends up going into the round fund and that's what helps pay for that deficit. But no,
your set part of your salary would be paid out of the general fund. That's how that works.
Okay, gotcha.
But if you took into consideration the removal of Social Security from her line items, and you, her salary is currently what, 50, and it went to 55 as opposed to 60, that deficit would be gone for all intents and purposes.
Yeah.
Social Security isn't figured into those.
But it's figured.
It actually is.
She does have
it's figured. It's figured into her numbers.
Yes.
It's in the payroll number.
In her, right. Her payroll.
Yes, it is. Right. Yeah. So if you took that out and then you made right. it two steps to the salary, the 11,000 would be almost gone. So yeah. It would be a balanced budget pretty much as it stands.
And then any deficit would be made up from the round fund.
Yeah. Right. From the round fund to the general fund in which it'd be paid out of.
So does that essentially mean that I don't even need to be requesting town support then, because it would be coming out of the round fund?
Well, that's a, you know, I think that it's good that you put that number in there, Steph, but mm-hmm. that's a philosophical discussion that the board has to make when they finalize and build their budget.
Okay.
Well, questions?
Well, when we've looked at other payroll, did we include the Social Security?
No.
So in other line items for other
side in the benefit,
we haven't considered.
That's correct.
Which is a mistake, but if we're being consistent when we look at budgets,
one way or the other.
It should be one way or the other. So it should be out of her budget.
Right.
But I guess when we look at the overall general budget, we'll have to take into account whatever level we set. Could I just ask, I don't know when the salary for this position was originally set. How was it set? Was it set by comparing it with other departmental positions?
Originally.
Or was it set?
Well, the Stephanie's salary in particular was set based on her request at the time she became the recreation director. And she, when she asked for that particular salary, she took into account that she had never been a recreation director before, and she was essentially getting on the job training. And so, you know, that was set by mutual agreement between the town and Stephanie at the time she became the rec director.
And when was that?
18 months ago, is that right, Steph? Close?
It was last, I don't know if this was the discussion in March of last year or if it was.
When did you become the interim rec director?
It was August of 2021.
Right,
21.
And you did that for 6 months, and then you became mm-hmm. the official rec director based on your performance and my recommendation to the board.
And that was March of last year, so almost a year ago.
It's been roughly a year.
It's a 37-hour position compared to other positions in town. Are they mostly 40 hours?
Most of our positions, I would say, are 37, with the exception of highway and buildings and grounds mostly.
I don't want to make this a discussion about her salary, but since it's a budget, I'm drilling down to questions about what the justification for that particular number is rather than some other number. So it wasn't based on a comparison of other towns or other positions in town.
She made the request and we felt it was reasonable, so we accepted it.
It's varied over the years, depending upon the amount of hours is anticipated there as programs expanded.
So I had originally asked also the amount that I was asking for last year, which they did change it. It was supposed to be hourly. I had asked for 23 an hour, but that was because that was what my predecessor, Kylene, was making before she left. So that was also my justification for asking for that. And at that time, I had not even looked into what other towns were paying their directors. and the other positions in their recreation department. So I could have asked for another number, but that just happened to be the number that I thought that I could ask for at the time.
Well, it works out. The new salary at 5209 works out to $26 an hour at 37 hours.
Yeah, they did change it after we discussed that. It was changed from hourly to salary, and that did change the number a little bit.
Whereas 60,000 would be.
That's something we're going to need to sit and talk about in our budget deliberations.
A little over $31 now.
Yeah.
Yep. It would be hard enough to get another meeting. We can do it in the budget discussions.
Yep.
Do we need anything else?
I think we're all right with this particular. Any other further questions, Bob DiPietro? Are you all set?
All set.
Those 2 pages.
And we'll ask that those 2 pages be printed off for us, Stephanie, and gotten to us.
And the corrected
AB.
And the corrected AB.
Yes.
Jill, you're all set? Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you so much. I hope you guys have a great night.
Thank you.
Moving on to the fire marshal.
So we're asking for, under the fire marshal budget, you'll see that it's generally a flat budget. We're asking for $33,000 appropriation. Last year was $32,000. The payroll does include a fire marshal and a deputy fire marshal. Professional education and training. I expect that when we bring on another individual that we will expend a little more money in that account than we did last year. So I think that's a reasonable number. The other professional and technical services at 2,500, you can see that the last actual expenditures were just under 2,000 with the increased cost. I think that's also a reasonable number. Supplies, that fluctuates up and down depending on what the needs are for the year. So we've asked for flat funding for that for the upcoming fiscal year. Equipment, you can see that the last actual expenditure shown in this budget was about $1,000 or $926. And so we think that that's a reasonable number. And dues and fees, we've almost expended that $500 already this year. So we think that that appropriation request is appropriate again for next year.
Are you the deputy? Who is the
I will be nothing here very shortly. We are waiting to advertise and fill the fire marshal position until after we bring a new building official on board. I can happily report that currently we have 2 very qualified applicants that have put applications in for that position. I'm expecting at least one more based on conversations I've had. All 3 of those applicants are people that I know quite well. They are very qualified and all of them could do the job. So I think we're very fortunate that we're going to have good choices, but I think it's important that, you know, we have the building official role filled so that we can be sure that we include the building official in the process of hiring a new fire marshal, since our goal is for them, they can't work quite as closely together as I did with the fire marshal as the building official, but as close as we can get to that anyway.
Mm-hmm. And Randy's going to stay on as the building official?
Well, Randy's title is building official and he will stay on in that capacity. And what we're actually doing is hiring a chief building official that will supervise Randy and Danielle in the land use office, and they will be the department head for the land use office.
Oh, okay.
So Randy is going to stay essentially in the capacity that he is in now.
Oh, okay.
Any further questions? Bob DePito? Adam or Bob Moore? Very good.
A chief building official? We've never had a chief.
So we've changed the job title. Essentially, I was the chief building official. But, you know, Randy went through the effort. We sent him to school. He went through the effort of achieving his licensure as a building official instead of an assistant building official. And he would like to have that as a title. And so we're actually making a title change in the union contract to chief building official for...
Did we ever have an assistant building official?
Yes, Randy's title has been assistant building official since he was hired.
But his qualifications have changed, making him a building official.
Correct.
Okay.
Does that make sense? I know it's confusing.
Well, it is. One person's got to be in charge. That's the chief.
I just didn't remember that we had two people in that office as building official.
Yeah.
So now
those are one of our marketing positions. That's
we have enough.
Oh, we shared that. We
worked to have two buildings.
We're covering four towns.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Right. So most of that second position is covered by the fees that we collect from. That's okay. We'll call that out when we do the land use budget. Any questions on the fire marshal budget?
No. Jim, question. Do you know how remember a few years ago we were way, way, way behind where we left with our old building official, our old fire marshal? And have we kind of closed that gap?
To the best of our knowledge, we are 100% compliant with our inspection schedule.
Okay.
So there may be an occupancy or two out there that we should be inspecting that we're not because we don't know about it.
Okay.
But all those that we are aware of, we are 100% up to date.
Excellent.
Good question, Michael.
Thank you.
Good question.
Moving on then to others, Jim.
And I'm going to do my best to answer questions on these board and commission budgets. But if we have specific questions, I may have to go back to the folks that created these budgets. So the first one we have before us is the planning and zoning. We've increased the recording secretary based on the changes in salary and the number of meetings. You'll note that planning and zoning members, along with zoning board of appeals, I think all of our land use commissions are required to now have continuing education. So that would include planning and zoning, zoning board of appeals, and wetlands, I believe. Mm-hmm. And so we've got a $500 budget in there for training. Advertising has gotten quite expensive. So they've increased the budget request I guess it's the same as last year, but our actual expenditures were $700. And they've kept the office and operation expenses flat at $900. There is an increase in the dues and fees with regard to the newsletter. They belong to the Connecticut Federation of Planning and Zoning something or other. And there's it's a long acronym. But I know Mike doesn't like acronyms that he can't understand. So I'm trying to help him understand that one. So that's what that's for. So their request is actually slightly lower than their appropriation for this year. Their appropriation for this year was $4,250, and their request is $4,205.
I don't see any problems from my end.
Bob DePito? Adam or Bob Moore?
Just a comment. And they've seen some significant activity, and it looks like based on what's going on, that will continue in 2020 at least through the end of 2023, the end of 2024. Because some of these are, they're not guest budgets, but particularly, you know, the office operating advertising has gone up crazy. And if you don't have a lot, you don't use it. But if you have a normal, you do. So,
right.
I think it's a reasonable projection of what they might spend.
Do we have to go over any of the decision packages? Oh, that's playing zone. Sorry.
Yeah, those decision packages are for consideration if we need to make cuts.
They're minimal
anyway. Yeah, they're pretty minimal.
They're less.
Yeah, they're small.
Moving on then to Zoning Board of Appeals.
So again, you know, this is a board that does not meet very often. And on the first line item for payroll, which is for board clerks, Jill helped us by creating a calculation that covers five under 1 hour meetings. It is rare that they have five meetings in a year, and most of their meetings are measured in minutes rather than hours. So I think that's a reasonable request. Advertising at $400. Office and operation expenses at $575 and dues and fees at $300. Again, also because of the change in the educational requirement, and they also pay a portion of a couple of periodicals.
May I just ask what office operation expenses they do incur at $575?
So if we need, you know, so we do a lot of printing for all of these boards and commissions. So if we have to purchase ink for the land use office and we've expended the funds in the land use office budget, we'll purchase ink for the printer out of, you know, one of these boards or commission budgets. Or if we have to, you know, create some special packages, or sometimes we need to purchase signs for ZBA. So when they have a Zoning Board of Appeals appeal pending, people will have to put signs out. So we might have to purchase signs. So that's what kind of expenses are coming out of those line items.
Thank you for the description. Any further questions? Adam? Mike?
Nope.
Bob? Or?
You've seen those before.
Good, then we'll move on to the inland wetlands.
And if we look at the inland wetlands, it is exactly a flat budget.
Thank you.
And we have the same basic categories.
And also, how about Public Building Commission?
And that's also a flat budget.
And nothing unexpected coming, nothing expected coming before us in changes. Seems that those were similar and whatever. I assume there are no further questions. Jill, do you have any questions for us or comments? Very good. So at this time, thank you very much. If there are no further questions, is there an announcement for the next meeting?
Next Tuesday is the regular board meeting. So it will be Thursday, which I believe is the 9th.
That's the schedule.
Jill and her team are going to do their level best to have the AP report ready for us for that meeting. We may not get it much before the meeting, but it's going to save us from having a meeting the following Tuesday.
That would be great.
Save some time.
We're doing 2 meetings
today. Very good.
To adjourn.
The maid seconded. And all thumbs are up. Thank you very much. At this time,
Mike, did you have a question?
No. Okay. Not tonight.
He's voting aye.
Okay.
We're adjourning at 8:05. Thank you very much, all.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you.
Hey, guys. Good night.